Before we start, I got to pop. Ready?
Yep.
Okay, we'll call to order the November meeting of the Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. The first item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. And I believe we have a recommendation to change the agenda a little bit and have a closed session. I think we probably need to put that on the agenda, don't we?
Chairman, I would request that we have a very brief attorney-client consultation. And I don't know if you got your email, but I'd be glad to, if the board wants to do that, I'll be glad to state the motion as it should be worded. There's some requirements for that.
Okay. If you could do that, state the motion, because I've made the motion to... Go ahead and state the motion.
I move that the commission goes into closed session pursuant to General Statute 143.318.11A3 to consult with this attorney under the attorney-client provision.
Okay, that'll be my motion. Okay, is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, all in favor? And then we'll put that as agenda item number 5 before old business.
Okay,
is all in favor say aye?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
All right, next item on the agenda is approval of the October meeting minutes. So we'll just take a minute and look at this. Are there any motions to amend the minutes or a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Public comments. This is for anything not related to any of the agenda items. Is there any public comments here? Okay. Hearing none, we will close that. And as the motion and approved for the agenda, we have a closed session right now to consult with the attorney, so we'll go ahead and have a closed session. Go ahead back there probably for about five or ten minutes, and then we'll come back. Yes.
I request that Mr. come in for minutes and that Mr. Batson join us because of his vast knowledge.
Do we want to go, is that a meeting room back there or?
No.
No, okay.
I mean, it seems a little odd for us to go all back there, but we got to do this when we have an attorney thing. So we'll be up about five or ten minutes.
You could finish time for me.
Mr. Church, back to operational. Functional. Still not pretty, but it's functional.
Okay, I move that we go back to open session.
I'll second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Right. Okay, back in open session. Next item on the agenda is agenda 5A. Town Council held a public hearing October 22nd for public comments on the proposed amendment to Chapter 19. I was not there. I don't know if anybody was there. I certainly got feedback in terms of the public hearing, but from what I understand, I'm not sure. You were there for the public hearing. Basically, there was not a lot of discussion, from what I understand. Okay. All right.
Very quiet.
Very, very quiet on that one. So, and then it was voted to approve the text amendment and associated consistency statement. Next item is permissible uses for churches in the RA1 district for the revised wording. So with that, we'll go ahead and turn it over to the P&Z attorney.
Thank you, Chairman. I've got, because it's hot off the presses, I've got individual packets. Now, I've got a request for these packets. I want the chairman to retain his, and if you feel like you've got to make notes on what you've got in front of you, that's what this is. Then you can keep yours. But If you don't shuffle the papers and you don't make any notes, I'd ask you to turn it back into Kathleen, who received it, because she can pass that directly on to Ms. Avery and avoid confusion and already have council's copies already made. So if you go to the first page are the definitions that I'm proposing for council's for your review and council's consideration. We've defined emergency shelter, we've defined rehabilitation, facility, we've defined halfway house. Because the nation is so polarized, we've gone away from the connotation of church and used religious institution. That's my little contribution to bringing us all together. And a religious annex means a building associated with a religious facility that is maintained and used by a religious organization in accordance with its doctrines, practices, or regulations. A religious annex and its use shall not be considered nor construed to constitute an accessory building in use. I did that to avoid all the complexity of trying to carve out an exception to accessory buildings. And the way this definition works is you've got a church on its parcel and you have a garden shed. Well, that garden shed's not being used for the doctrines, beliefs, and purposes of that church. That is an accessory building. Then you have this other building that has been discussed in previous meetings that are used for visiting church groups, for fellowship and to further the organization's religious purposes. Now, without that use, maybe that is an accessory building, but because it's being used in accordance with that organization's doctrines, practices, and regulations, we're calling it a religious annex.
Okay. So specifically, the case at point that we're discussing, that particular building would now be defined as a religious annex.
If it's used in accordance with the next document in your packet.
Okay.
The next document in your packet looks like this. It's what I call a global insert. And when I say it's a global insert, when I got working on this project, and we were originally looking at 1992, I came to the conclusion that there were five other zoning districts in the town where churches were permitted use. Of course, we could not single out this church in that district. We had to be equal to all the churches, or I should say all the religious institutions. So this global insert, you will see at the end of our discussion that it's exactly the same for the six different sets of district regulations that we're amending, but it's the same language each time. I thought it would be easier for you all to look at this insert and we can start to digest it.
If I could just jump in really quick, the second sentence in this, you refers to a visiting church group. Mm-hmm. You wanted to avoid the word church. Could you come up with a different word?
Several places.
Yeah.
So we'll come back to that, but you may want to identify wherever churches refer to some other word that we can do as kind of a global proposal.
Church group. groups on a temporary basis and emergency relief workers during a town declared state of emergency. A religious annex shall not be used for private benefit, inurement, lobbying, political campaign activity, or to generate unrelated business income. A religious institution shall not charge a fee for any housing provided hereunder, although it may receive donations to offset the cost of providing such housing. For the purposes of this subsection, the temporary housing of visiting, quote, church groups of a visiting church group shall not exceed 14 days, and the housing of emergency relief workers shall not exceed the duration of a town declared state of emergency.
Can I get some clarification on that? Then the town declared state of emergency. I'll use Flo for an Florence for the example. We went under emergency, what, John, on Wednesday? When the storm came in on Thursday, Friday?
Yes.
And then we came out of emergency the following Friday when we lifted the curfews. Correct? So, you would say that even though we were still cleaning up a mess, we were under the emergency for a week.
Different towns do it different ways. I think Belleville was still under an emergency declaration several weeks after you all apparently.
I'm not entirely sure we've lifted that.
Exactly.
What?
And we're probably still under emergency right now.
No, we lifted it when we lifted the curfews that Friday. We lifted the state of emergency.
We did.
So by this, even though we were still cleaning up, and repairing from the storm, these relief workers would have to be gone.
Well, that way,
even though the power was on most of the town, water was fine, cable was back, there was still quite a bit of
money. I think the choice I was faced with was to decide on some arbitrary time limit which may not fit the circumstances, whereas the town has the discretion to keep the state of emergency declared for as long as it deems advisable. That's why I opted to go that way. If there's a better way to do it, I'm all for it.
Because you can lift the curfew but still have a state of emergency.
Yeah, but at that point, we were way ahead of,
because
we had a great emergency plan. We were way ahead of everyone else in the county. We had less damage, but
wasn't the county state of emergency longer than the towns?
No, we all lifted that Friday.
Same time?
All of New Hampshire County was done that Friday. Even though there was still, especially in the rural part of the county, quite a bit more mess than we had down here.
So, counselor, would that mean, because the latest thing was possibly assisting Wilmington in their need for to find temporary shelter for people. So we weren't under a state of emergency, so that would not be available under this.
My comment is just what I told Mr. Whitley. We can, if it is deemed advisable to put a limit on the housing of emergency relief workers, then you have a choice. The choice is to plug in a time limit, as we did for visiting church groups of 14 days. But I venture to say that an arbitrary time limit like that may or may not fit the bill. That's why I went with town declared state of emergency, assuming that the governing board of the town could extend or curtail that duration, that declared state, as appropriate. I'm not wedded to any one particular.
I understand.
I think those are the parameters. And if you want to do 30 days, Wilmington's still picking up debris piles 60 days out.
Well, just the only reason why is those emergency workers may not be working here in Kern Beach, but they may be housed here.
Could you just put something here that would say, or something declared, some other condition declared by the town that would allow it? So it's a.
I don't know that the town has statutory delegated authority to declare
something else.
Different conditions.
Can I offer some insight that may help you? You don't have to worry about that. The only relief workers that we have would be a religious institution, per the attorney's words, that would be coming in, Samaritan's First, Baptist Men, another church. Their normally average stay is 7 to 10 days, and there's a turnover. So even though that might go on for 4 months helping other parts of the county or even here, under what has already been defined as no more than 2 weeks for a set group, that group would rotate. Does that make sense?
So no, no, it does. I think the reason we were concerned about that is you had mentioned that you had been contacted by the county or something like that as a possibility.
By American Red Cross.
By American Red Cross. So what we're trying to do is address a non-religious group that might come in and want to use that facility.
Well, how about this, based on, I'm sorry, are you a pastor?
I'm the pastor of that church.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I correctly respected your title. Following the pastor's remarks, what about this, if you look two lines up, a visiting church group, again, we'll fix church, shall not exceed 14 days, and a rotating group of emergency relief workers. I could make both of those 14 days, but distinguish the latter by calling it a rotating group of emergency relief workers.
I think it's kind of redundant. I mean, because what you're saying is that these people rotate out within a 14-day period.
I think he's also trying to make a hole for the Red Cross. It's not a religious group.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily trying to make a hole for the Red Cross. I mean, y'all have to decide if you want to hammer that part out, whether you want them staying here or not. The offer from the Red Cross originally was 30 days till they got the people at the Glens and the other two apartment complexes situated. But my main thing is for the recovery side of things, New Hanover County's been blessed, in my opinion, to have North Carolina Baptist Men, Samaritans First functioning within the county, and they would have been here the same way. But the 14-day rotation, I mean,
normally, other groups are all what you call church groups?
They all fall underneath what you define as a religious organization. So that's how.
Why don't we just do 14 for temporary housing for visiting church groups and 30 days for emergency relief workers, just for everybody under that umbrella for 30 days?
So as you take out the town declared state of emergency and just put 30 days.
Yeah, I guess the only question I would have, maybe I'm creating more questions than I'm creating answers.
That's why I want you to be careful.
If the coordinator is an on-site guy, you wouldn't want to rotate your town council every 30 days. If your coordinator is an on-site guy and he's staying for 60, 90, 120 days because he's retired and that's his job, is he permitted to stay in that building for 120 days as a single individual? Or?
My only comment is, in any discussion heretofore, we never contemplated an extended period of time under any set of circumstances like that.
But he can stay in the church, because that falls under a different. So we're good. We can do the. We're good with the 14 days.
Or housing of emergency workers not to exceed 30 days.
That work for you, Pastor?
Yes, sir. As long as we don't have to have a week in between of that building being empty.
Okay. Do you need a motion as we work through these things, or do you want to have a motion at the end for all these changes that we're making?
Let's do. I prefer to do one at the end.
Okay.
The next page, you'll see is a staple document. The top one is labeled current provisions. This one is for 79.5 uses that are prohibited. You'll recall, if you look at the last prohibited use containers at buildings, that's something we did a couple years ago. If you flip to the second page, it's titled Proposed Text Amendments to that same section, and you'll see that we've took three of those definitions and plugged them in here. Emergency shelter, habilitation, rehabilitation facility, and halfway house. I hasten to add that emergency shelter, going back to the very first document, is defined as temporary housing available to individuals and families experiencing homelessness. It's not tied to storms or disasters.
Okay, so these aren't relief workers. This would be what we were concerned about last time. Okay, all right. So even though it has kind of the same sound, it really is defining a different group of people.
Well, if we're going to make some revisions, go back to your very first page. Maybe we want to call emergency shelter a homelessness shelter.
I don't have a problem with that.
Homeless, I guess, would be the right word, homeless shelter. Then the remaining sections, you'll see it's 1992. not going to go through all of them, but these are the six different districts where churches are permitted use. And if you turn to the second page of each, and it's the same for each, you'll see what we crossed out and then what we plugged in. Again, I'll have to correct that stupid mistake of using church when I tried not to. But that's what we've done. We came up with some definitions as amendments. We've added three of those to prohibit the use section. And we hammered out with the church's help a permissive use under the six districts where churches are a recognized use to allow for temporary housing of existing church groups and emergency relief workers. I'll end my comments by saying that at a point in time, if you want to entertain a motion to adopt these amendments as revised per instructed, you could do that.
Okay.
And then the very last page is your proposed consistency statement.
Okay, and with the amendments as possibly instructed, although we're not there yet, but assuming it's similar to what we've done, the consistency statement I could still sign with those amendments? Okay. Any discussions from the commission? All right. Is there a motion to approve with the recommended and directed changes?
I move that we accept the statement with the proposed changes, especially the wording.
Let's do two different motions.
Okay.
One is to report favorably on the proposed amendments, and then the second motion to adopt the consistency.
Okay.
Okay. So that's.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do the first one you just said, and that's the
report submitted with the changes that we discussed.
Okay. All right. So we have two.
Well, we got to vote on that one. Second.
We have two motions. One is to report favorably to the council.
Second.
Okay. Second on that one. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Then the second motion is with the recommended and directed changes.
So moved.
Okay.
Any second. Further?
Okay. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Very good. So this will be then passed on. Since these are zoning changes, it will have to go be set for a public hearing by the council, which I assume you're going to have to meet. So the council at the next meeting will hear our recommendation to do this. They have the decision to set it for a public hearing. That's their decision as to when they're going to set it. And then depending on that, then they would vote after that.
Okay. So just real quick, I don't want to take up any more of your time. I appreciate you guys working to hammer that out and make it to where it's consistent, but also fair to the church and to the town. I think what has the possibility of being done is good for both. I appreciate Commissioner Whitley helping with a little bit of that, and let me know when that comes before the council. Okay. If I need to come back and explain a little bit.
It would be great if you were there December 18th, probably to be.
Yeah, I'd love to be. So,
And that's on the 18th. And there may or may not be a lot of questions, you know, because
right.
what I'll do is I'll present it to the council, and of course they can ask me questions or they can ask you questions and so forth.
Well, let me just give a passionate plea, then I'll bring my 5-year-old, and if they can tell her no, we're good.
Okay.
All right. I'll have a 5-year-old for something.
Very good.
Thank you, John. Man,
appreciate it.
Okay. Next item is a definition of a monument sign. Last time we talked a little bit about that, some minor wording. This goes into the definition category, so obviously, I don't think this has to go to a public hearing, does it?
No, it's still an amendment to your zoning regulations, so yes, it follows the same procedure, and you also have a proposed consistency.
Okay, so what I would suggest we do is we address this, and so at the next council meeting, they could hold a public hearing for not only the church thing that we just talked about, but also add this one in. I don't think this is going to be an exciting public hearing. So. The definition of a monument sign. So, do you want to give us that?
Well, you've got it in front of you. And it's verbatim based on last month's review and instruction. I don't think you'll have any objection to the proposed amendment, which is set forth in red under proposed text amendment. Section 1971, and then you have a consistency statement. I'll read you the primary finding. The commission finds that the proposed amendment provides provide the definition of monument sign and the commission finds it adopting the amendment to be reasonable in public interest inasmuch as the provisions of Article 6 sign include references to monument sign and providing a definition of the same further as the intent of the article to protect public health, welfare, or safety by regulating signs of all types. And it goes on to address the usual consistency of the land use plan. So again, two motions if you so deem it. One is to report favorably on the proposed text amendment to section 19-371.
So moved.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And then to adopt the proposed consistency statement which is in your package.
Anybody want to move on that?
So moved.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Thank you.
All right. Next. Yeah, thank you. Next item is a downtown mixed use overlay district. At the last council meeting, I presented that because there was some discussion about that, and obviously we didn't want to embark on a fairly lengthy and complex process of developing an overlay district without at least having the recommendation to move in that direction by the council. So I presented that to the council at the last council meeting. There were a number of questions, expected and I think very reasonable questions. The council then asked me to get some examples, which I did, and I believe I've copied, and I did send those to the council, and I think I copied everybody on the commission. I've received some emails back from a couple of the council members saying that they very much appreciated the examples that I provided and that it's something that they are interested in. They felt obviously that there should probably be a continued discussion by the council, talking to the business community and maybe talk to some other folks. But generally, I would have to say that I think it's favorable, at least by the majority of the council members, that we may move in that direction, but we don't have any recommendation or direction by the council to do any additional work until directed by the council. I don't know if you wanted to provide some more insight on this or...
We've had some conversations about it. And we definitely want to do what we can to maintain the integrity and the character of what we currently have within Prairie Beach. I think that's why we all moved here. Mm-hmm. And some of the conversations we've had even up until yesterday amongst council. So we would like for you all to go forward. And I would like to have, because I feel this is going to be, may get into the public realm quite a bit, the research y'all do, and have a workshop session at some point in the future, and have the public come in and go present. Where you stand at that point, so we can get public feedback, because I think that's going to be a big part of this, in moving this forward.
How would you want us to do this? Would you want us at the next meeting have a direction by the council to do exactly what you said? I think I would feel more comfortable with that because there may be one or two members of the council, at least one member, that may not want us to move in that direction. So I want to make sure I don't step on any toes and kind of move in that direction without...
Craig is going to speak with the business owners.
Okay.
And we spoke with one Monday night and who was in favor of
it. Okay, okay.
We want to see what we can do because everybody agrees we need to maintain. We don't want to line up the maintenance.
What I would suggest, and this would be my recommendation for the commission, is that I would ask perhaps that this be put, I don't know if the agenda for you is set yet. I think there's...
We can make adjustments up until...
What I would recommend is that maybe you have an agenda item to give us direction as a P&Z to move in this direction. So it becomes kind of a formal charge to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Just to understand, looking at the zoning map, this overlay would be B1, B2, B3, and B4. Is that true? Or
where the hotels are.
Right. Well,
do you agree with this, Chad, where the hotels are in the Central Business District?
Well, you've got...
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
I thought I understood it's the 4-block section of B1.
That's it?
That's what we're looking at.
Okay, so it's not every business. Okay.
Yeah, and an overlay doesn't have to follow the exact zoning map. It's an overlay on top of it, so we can that would be one of the things that we would have a workshop on to see if we want to extend or shrink it or whatever we want to do. So,
Because when I was reading the ones, I was trying to think, are we looking at all of our B districts or just the oceanfront, basically B1? So it's B1 district what we're looking at mainly.
I think that's a primary interest, okay. Is B1. If I can ask a question, because we already have an overlay district on K Avenue. Yes, we do. It's a mixed use. We have a mixed use overlay district on K Avenue. I don't see any legal reason why you couldn't have it, but can you have intersecting overlay districts?
I don't know. I've never.
I don't see any reason why you couldn't, because but then you'd have three different sets of rules. You'd have the two overlays and then the underlying zoning.
Well, the overlay district only extends from 3rd Avenue to the west.
From 3rd to, okay, so, all right, okay. So we probably wouldn't have an kind of intersecting overlays, but. Okay. Is there any further discussion? But I do think that having a direction from the council would be the way to go from here. So.
Well, as part of that, I mean, I read through all of them. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of expertise that I know I don't have. Are we looking to have a public hearing and then actually have somebody do this for us, or are we going to do it ourselves?
That's something we can decide, but once we get direction to go in that direction, we could have a discussion at our next commission meeting and say, what is the best way to approach this? Some overlay districts, quite frankly, the one that I found is just one rule, which is a height limit. Carolina Beach's overlay district is simply a 45-foot height limit, and that's it.
I was going to say, Chairman, unless it's extraordinarily comprehensive and detailed, I'm sure staff can draft this.
Drafted the other overlay district internally, which is about 3 pages, and I think it was, we don't have a lot of mixed use there, but I think the overlay district is a well-written document that certainly addresses it, yeah.
Pardon? I'm more than confident.
Okay.
Yeah. The other, it goes about saying, but it also is prudent to think about it. When this overlay district comes to you for review and then on the council, there'll be a corresponding review and action on an amended zoning map. So you're not just adopting an overlay, you're adopting an amendment to a zoning map. Two different zoning procedures, both of which, like tonight, require review, report, consistency statement. But more importantly, you all need to have that map when you look at it.
Right.
I don't know who the contracts for those. I'm sure Nancy will do all that.
Joe.
Okay, so we don't need to make a motion on that, I would like a motion, and a motion, and I'll go ahead and make the motion that we ask town council to provide us direction related to the developing actually, this is wrong on our agenda. It says a mixed-use overlay district, but simply a overlay district related to preserving the character of the business district.
Discussion, Chair.
Yes.
Before we move on, do we want to, in your mind, Councilman, do we want to start a public forum? Like our next meeting on this before we even go to council?
No, I think y'all should come up with some ideas and then we present it to the public or have them come in for.
So council will direct us, we'll come up with a preliminary draft and then go to the public.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that or do you want to have a workshop to be fed the information?
That's what I'm trying to figure.
What I would like to do is get direction from the council first. Before we do anything.
And I also like that direction to have some discussion around what zoning district or districts are we, what's the geographical area that we're working with. I think that's important before you plow ahead. I got about a third of the way through the Laguna Beach document, which is very complex, but they were very good in how they worked in.
No doubt.
And I think that's what you need to sell it to the public.
Yeah, that was a great example.
It's great, and I'm glad you did see it, and that's why I picked it, because you can then communicate how, if you have an overlay district that's has a vision and is well written, how it can really maintain a particular look for a community.
There's people on the street everywhere, people on bikes, everything. I mean, it's very vibrant.
Is there a second to request second. For direction? Okay, a second. Is there a further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, excellent. New business. Any new business?
Member issue I want to talk about. Did I?
Okay. Any new business? Okay. No. Hearing none. Next item is member items.
Yeah, I...
Let him start, Jason.
Okay.
He's got his picture.
Yeah.
Okay. You got a picture. Okay.
The pictures I've provided you, if you look on the second page by the boat, you can see where the bike trail exits from Carolina Beach onto Alabama, and I'm standing on Spot Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other picture above is looking down Spot Lane. Then Spot Lane did end into this rope barrier at the bottom. And then when you turn around is a pump house that has chlorine gas, and talking to Public Works, probably 100-foot safety area, which you can see a car parked there. That's another issue. Yeah, that's another issue. Now the ropes are down in most of the areas, and as the bike path is being used, it's being more and more people are coming down spots. So I should have started off. I look at this as part of our planning arm, trying to help the council to find a television what they should, you know, try to help them plan for what we should do. Should we allow that to, and of course that all, when that all enters down to Settlers Lane, and Settlers Lane becomes a de facto bike path to Fort Fisher and beyond. People in my community have already noticed that there's a lot more bikes, and it hasn't even opened yet. So what I'd like to discuss is providing a plan to the town to either allow the bike path and make appropriate changes so that it goes into Settlers Lane and goes around the hazardous material, or develop a plan to block off Spot Lane permanently with more of a structured stopping. The other thing on the rope thing to the right is the residents, as they put up their own ropes because they had golf carts, everything running through their property. So this area needs attention by the town. And I thought we could, under our planning arm, try to develop what we thought would be a good solution to kind of get ahead of this before all of a sudden we get, like I said, before Settlers Lane becomes the de facto bike path.
Okay. In fact, you and I chatted on Halloween. Probably about... I don't know, maybe 15 to 20 years ago, there was a strong movement here in Curie Beach and in Carolina Beach at the time, but led by somebody who lived here in Curie Beach, might even be before your time, to develop a bike path. And I don't know if you were there at that particular time, but they had literally 100 people showing up for the meetings and so forth. And there was it was pretty well designed that the bike path in Curie Beach would go on that kind of dirt road right behind Settlers Lane and go up that way.
The fire road.
Basically it was a fire road. And when the kind of final public hearing was to be held, and literally hundreds of people showed up both in favor and against, but there was a sufficient number against it, i.e. the Settlers Lane people that kind of backed up against it, that it kind of died at that particular time. And a lot of people were upset. In fact, the person who was the leader of that, who lived here in Curie Beach, quite an entrepreneur. He picked up his company, moved out of here, actually went to Colorado because he was so frustrated, you know, about that. So he took a business out of this area, you know, because of that. So anyway, there has certainly been discussions about that, but I don't think there's been a whole lot of discussion other than simply putting kind of a bike lane down Fort Fisher by town council about that. So the reason I mention that is because I think there's a couple options. One is, as you said, just create something that becomes a de facto Settlers Lane bike path there. You know, one would be the council maybe kind of re-energizing the idea of something through the military property, whether it's on the fire lane or whether it's kind of a deeper recess sort of thing. My personal opinion, I don't think you can block it. I mean, I just think people will find their way around it and ultimately, you know, go around it. But I would strongly, and I agree with you, that the council probably should either direct us or form a committee or make some sort of a decision now that this is being opened here in Carolina Beach to address the issue.
What's your thoughts, Councilman?
We're right in the middle of the land use plan with Watsu, and this is coming up. We're actually having a breakfast with him next Friday, and we have our second policy meeting the following Monday. This is something that we're going to bring up to kind of get their take on, because they did allow it. We decided against it. And you start looking at costs. If we could get grants, things like that, to offset it. We've already spoken about it some, but we haven't really proceeded forward because we're in the middle of the land use plan lot suit right now.
But I do think, I mean, if it really is a hazardous area, we really ought to start. I mean, it's last weekend there was four or five people just coming through there. I don't know.
I've gone through there. I took my bike through there today.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what can you say?
It's, yeah. So I mean, but that's an issue for, you know, a town if something ever happens. You know.
I assume that in your discussions in the land use plan, people are aware of this extension of the bike path in the car. And speaking of that, I think Wilmington, I don't know if you've driven down College right now, but, you know, they have now extended a bike path miles and miles up College. I mean, it's paved now. It's probably going to be open within a couple of weeks, going basically from the university all the way up to, I don't know if it goes
Pizza
all the way
place.
To Monkey Junction, but it goes way up there, yeah.
It's all the way to Pizza Place.
Yeah. So it's pretty impressive what they're doing to, you know, create that bike path. So.
Well, like I said, this is... an issue that's going to be is only going to get worse, and I don't know what. Like I said, we're also supposed to plan, so that's why I thought I'd bring it up.
Start the dialogue. Never hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we already had people reach out to us. Do it. Don't do it.
What's going to be the mechanism to decide what would be the best option? Is that a council? Is it going to be a committee? I know it's part of you discussing the land use plan with the military. But is there anybody making a decision to go in this direction or that direction when it comes to the bike
path? It's on their property, it's going to be up to Watsu.
But you could talk to them. I mean, is anybody saying, well, if it's going to be on the property, do you want to have it recessed further away from the fire road or on the fire road?
Or they even want to have a conversation with us first.
Okay.
And then we go from there. Because the face-to-face meetings are going to start. This will be wrapped up by May. A couple meetings over the next few months, and we'll see kind of what their mood is.
Can you raise the issue about not having them patrol the roads just because it's on their property? I mean, that's
from
that's
what
ridiculous.
I understand, when they patrol the roads, there's something going on
over
across
there.
The river.
Yeah. Right.
But they stop people for going 5 miles an hour over the speed limit and stuff like that.
And called me in. I said, "Welcome to federal traffic court, man. That's where you're going."
Yeah.
You know? But when they're here, there's something going on over there.
Or something about to.
By the way, I won it. My son got a ticket, and they didn't know where 55 mile per hour starts.
Okay. What road are we talking about?
Dow Road.
They didn't realize, and so I won the case, actually, because they didn't realize the map that 55 starts at the end of the town limit. and they gave a ticket for going 55 miles an hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. And so I pulled out the map, the state map, and actually won it in federal code. So someone needs to explain to them what the speed limits are here.
Things. We're a topic we're working on with them. So
yeah.
This is one of them, just to kind of gauge if they want to play ball or not.
Well, I think if, because one of the issues backing out, right? Anyway, I think if this summer, I don't even know when the bike path is officially open. I don't think it's open yet.
I think it's the 1st of December they're going to have
Okay. Official. People are already using it.
And, so. Well, oh yeah, yeah. And
so people drove down I-40 for weeks before they opened it.
And that might help change people's mind on putting it behind versus coming down Settlers. But I think right now it would still be 90% would say no.
We can deal with this next year after the election.
I don't think there'd be an objection if they recess it. Based on the fire road. From what I heard 15 years ago, there'll be a lot of objection because of just going in the backyard. People are afraid that people are going to hop the fence and steal stuff.
What, about 8 or 10 years ago?
What?
It was a while back. It's more than 8 or 10 years now.
2005,
2006.
Yeah. So, but I think if it's recessed further in there, you'd have less objection. But if it's right on the fire road, you're going to have objection.
People steal TVs and carry them off on their bikes.
I know. I think it's, but that was the impression that people had, yeah.
Well,
that people are going to ride up from downtown to steal TVs out of Kerry Beach.
Well, that's a lot of lost privacy.
Well, that was the issue too. Yeah, I mean,
that's bottom line of what it comes down to.
Right.
Well, I'd have to say, since I'm one of those people that live with that in my backyard, I've got a fence up, but after Florence came through, the fire road is a lot more visible. Because of all the debris and trees and whatever that came down in those storms. So I understand the...
Right, so if the discussion happens, I would say not the fire road, because there will be objections like that. But, if you can recess it in...
That they're forcing Carolina Beach to put up is not going to be...
Yeah, that fence is going to be ugly too.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, it is.
But if you need some chain on the fence, I'm sure you can get some cheap in Carolina Beach right now.
Yeah.
Well, I heard they were going to put up barbed wire to start with, and... They backed away from that, so.
All right. So anyway, so that was it. We just want to wait till we have discussions with Sunny Point and.
Let's get to the 19th meeting and we'll go from there.
When you have your discussions, and because of Walt's dog last January, I got permission from the Commandant to walk the fire road trying to find the dog. That area in places, I mean, there's standing water, there are huge ditches. I mean, it's a lot of grading and work that has to be done if you try to use
that up
the
too, park. Because there might have been some of the flooding in certain areas of Curry Beach because they have not cleaned up some of those areas.
Oh, it's terrible.
And we're going to bring that up too, because either allow us to clean it up, give us permission, or take care of your own responsibilities. So.
But I think that's a point that in the call.
Was it on a periodic basis? I know it was about 4 or 5 years ago. They go to the backside. Really
there's some
areas.
They have a chain mail. So they
got water that did not typically get water. We have some concerns over.
Yeah.
Because I
no.
All right.
Okay. Any other member items?
Yeah.
Yes.
Me.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm not sure what to do with this right now, but I think it needs to be surfaced. During the storm, the hurricane, and John knows about this, the 1800 building was hit pretty severely at our place there. A lot of washout. What became concerning to me personally is two issues. We allow owners to have propane tanks to feed whatever they have there. So with the first part of the storm, when they washed it out, we had a 100-pound tank and a several hundred-pound tank dangling because there was nothing underneath it. So the fire department came, they lowered it down to what became ground level. Then as the water kept coming in, it started playing bobbing for apples. And And the problem you're dealing with is you got four sides now with nails coming through. Could, you know, the wood's there. So we called the fire department in, and actually the mayor got involved with us in this. Craig was down there helping to supervise. We got the first tank out and in the front of the place because the quote, the people who are responsible to come and take the tanks out couldn't get to them. And then we started working on the big tank, and John showed up, and we had to stop because we're trying to affect the integrity of the building by trying to pull that up with hope hoists and whatever else. So we finally got it out of there maybe a week ago. But my concern is, and I don't know where to go with this, but my concern is you got a couple of bombs sitting there, and I'm not sure we adequately address it. I know we don't. So I don't know where to go with it, but someone has to hear this and have to do something about it. Now, I'm not being very popular with my neighbors who have them.
Our
HOA rules right now allow them to have it with a concrete structure underneath it, according to state county code, and that's it. And you know, and we suggested some sort of a barrier around it that's open 9 foot, you know, 3 foot or whatever it is on either side to let any gas out. But that doesn't stop a hurricane issue that takes out everything and stuff. These things are dangling, and it's an issue. I mean, personal note, and this is something slightly different. I've been fighting with the county, with the police department, with the fire department, because they argue that my 20-pound propane tank is a danger to the world. But these 200-pound hangers are okay.
There must be a solution. Perhaps your organization could invest in an engineer coming out to review it and tell you what needs to be done to solve the problem and either think about text amending our ordinance, but I think more to the point, amending your old regulations to require that. But there's got to be a solution.
Problem one, and I'm not throwing barriers in, to change any of our declarations takes a 90% approval of the membership of 196 units. Ain't ever going to happen. That's problem one. Okay? I'll see the engineer on Friday. I'll see if he has any suggestions, but I'm not sure there's a suggestion to support one of these things.
Not where those are located in that specific situation, but how about limiting the size? Because that one that we stopped pointing, that was
what, 250, 500? Had to be at least 250.
We need to be messing with the ones that we have. I can tell you that.
And we were actually trying to pull that thing with a truck. There were pulleys set up and we had a truck trying to pull it. So anyway.
Well, you had also raised some issues earlier about propane tanks and being rusted.
Being maintained and whatever else.
And we were going to have the fire chief, I believe, come to us and talk about that.
And then we lost a meeting or two
and it didn't happen.
They should have had the meeting where we didn't have a quorum.
Yeah. And you were going to have some propane companies come also.
Well, propane companies, by their agreement with the owners, they're responsible to maintain them and replace other than surface rust and take them out of there and remove them in storm issues. As the mayor found out, it didn't happen. And frankly, the only way we got that last one out of there is the mayor kept calling Suburban and saying, you haven't done it yet. When is it going to happen? And finally, they came and asked us to call the mayor and tell him they did it. So, I mean, that's the reality of what we're dealing with.
John mentioned about some of the HOA requirements and everything. Is there some sort of bundle this all together with HOAs and the town and what the state or the county requires you to do? I mean, I know when you had that lot of information out back and forth online to see what the state federal requirements are and everything, and I know.
First of all, it's a county issue, it's not a town issue, because that's a mechanical issue.
Yeah.
So it's out of John's territory, per se.
Not to mention it's a pre-existing condition.
Okay.
But non-conforming.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah, I know, I'm not in the flood zone. I'm on a concrete plant, but the company that did mine secured it. I have a big, huge strap, and it's bolted right into the house, so, I mean.
It wasn't a concrete pit. But when the concrete pit disappears, it's hanging in the air.
Do we need to look at, on oceanfront, different rules? Or, well, like I said, it's a county thing, though.
I mean, my suggestion is that you should go talk to the town council and see what their suggestions are. I assume that you could have a regulation town-wise, you know, I mean, city-wide for this. I mean, we don't have to rely upon the county to regulate some of these issues.
Well, it's also regulated by the flood zone, so I do have some bearing on that.
Yeah.
And they are required to tie them down to where they can't flood away.
Yeah, but they will have. They're all required to have a strap that goes through the bottom and gets staked in on either side of the pad.
But when you lose the pad. 6-8 feet of your subgrade and your and your pad, it's gonna fall and it's gonna bob around.
And when you're bobbing around in a closed area, which is now exposed to a bunch of nails, you're an accident looking for a place to happen.
But then I come back to your earlier concern about how some of these are so rusted too. That I mean,
well, the association's addressed that issue. We've dealt with that individually, and you know.
But the question is, do we want to? Is that something that the town could have a regulation on in terms of rusted?
I don't know. That's why I just, you know, I know that the regulation does say surface rust is okay, and it's up to the companies actually if it becomes beyond surface rust to replace the tanks. That's
right.
That's the regs in the county.
Okay.
The question is here though. It's beyond that. We're not talking surface rust. We're talking about danger.
It would almost like you'd have to have a rule saying you can't have tanks within so many feet of the dunes or something like that. Something you're looking for like that.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm looking for. I just know I see a problem.
But that one washout, it could have been almost all the way to 421 would have still gone. So that wouldn't be worth even.
Okay, I have one member item. It's kind of a sensitive issue but I've had to do this before with other members, but John has been absent. He was absent last meeting. He's absent this meeting. He'll be absent in December. There are rules for attendance on the commission. Does anybody happen to have that available? What the rules are for attendance.
You can't miss three.
Regular
attendance is required, and I believe actually it even refers to some numbers. I mean, obviously people miss and travel, but I'm just raising the issue because, you know, as chair, we've had to deal with this issue before, where we've had to ask somebody to step down because they're not regularly attending.
Do you all have your own rules and procedures?
Yes, we do. And that's what I'm asking right now.
That's in there.
I think it's three in a row. If you miss three in a row.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Three unexcused.
But what's excused and unexcused?
Excused is when you all vote to excuse.
Well, basically, I've just been notified via email that he won't be here.
No, I mean, I've been in other towns where when the meeting starts, if somebody's absent, they'll actually
just let you
the
council.
Right. The concern I have is that, you know, we all like each other and stuff like that, so you're a little hesitant about making an unexcused absence because you're just kind of inclined to say, yes, we'll excuse it. But I'm just raising the issue as to this is three absences in a row. We have a lot of work that has to be done. We have an alternate who would be willing to serve. Should the commission direct me to talk to John about the importance of attendance? I'm asking. It's a very sensitive issue, but it's one that needs to be discussed.
Do you want a motion on that?
I believe in the past, the council liaison has talked to commission members. Just throwing that out.
I can do it.
Okay. Yeah, that would be, I don't know if you need a motion, but my recommendation is that you talk to John and simply say that regular attendance is required, and that, you know, we very much appreciate his work, but if he can't, I mean, he can't regularly attend, that we do have an alternate in place, and that...
Kathleen, give us a cell phone number for him, or the contact number I can reach out to him.
Not on me.
I didn't expect you to have it in your pocket.
I can get it.
Steve Ellinger. I'll take care of it.
Because actually, the council does appoint the commission, so that'd be appropriate then.
Mr. Young has not missed the meeting since he was appointed as alternate.
Yes, so. Right. That's why I'm bringing up the point. So, all right. Next meeting. We have a history of not meeting in December sometimes. I don't know if we want to have a meeting, particularly since we may be directed now to start thinking about an overlay. Do we want to have a meeting in December or not?
Can we have a meeting that just specifically handled one topic?
Sure. I mean, so we could have a regular meeting. And
we could have a regular meeting, and it's only for
Why don't we just leave the meetings scheduled, and if we find out there's nothing directed, then we can wipe it out.
Okay.
Leave it on the
calendar.
I don't think there's anything else really on the agenda other than possibly working on this overlay as directed, is there? Is there, John, is anything coming up from here?
Ask the council, they'll send you something.
Sooner or later, the final plat for the code is going to come up, but I haven't heard of any indication when that's going to be.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that we'll leave our December meeting as scheduled, but if we're not directed by the council, then we'll go ahead and cancel it with sufficient time. But if we are directed, then we'll go ahead and meet.
Okay. All right.
All right. Any further discussion? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Very good.
Aye. Untouched, unblemished, cold.
Well, based on the change, I don't think I got to trash all this anyway.
Unblushed,
unblushed.
By the way, one other catch.
It was
one other catch that you did this was when you called Sunday schools.
In
the first sentence it says Sunday schools.
But what would we call it instead?
I think you can leave that because it's an example, such as. So it does, such it as, so you could say Sunday schools.
But religious training would be just as good.
I'll try to come up with something.
Yeah.
Or leave it.
And so I'm at.
Let's see. You got
I signed
you got two
consistency.